you. You know he's already done it. He supplied your breakfast and you had a bed to sleep in. And the weather's nice. And we come here to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege. There's millions upon millions of people in this world that wouldn't have that blessing. But we are one of those that has it. And a few thousand others. Good to have Brother Pesser back here again. I had to be reintroduced. We've been there so long since he was here. Praise God. Okay. Well, let's just bow our heads in prayer unto our Lord. Precious Jesus, it is a wonderful blessing to be able to come into a place set aside for the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's you yourself, Lord. You are right here with us today. You're in the form of the Holy Spirit. And you want to bless us. And you know all our problems. And you know all our blessings. You know all our families. And you know all the folk that are listening in on the internet, wherever they are. You love them all, Lord. In fact, you died for the whole world, Lord Jesus. But we know, Lord, that it's only your sons and daughters that are going to respond. Because we have to actually move our feet towards the Lord Jesus Christ rather than say, oh yes, I know Jesus or know about Jesus. We must know Jesus in a personal way. And you will do that for us, Lord. If we want you, you'll be there. We're able to actually accept you. Thank you, Lord, for that. Bless the people that still may be coming here this morning and bless them. And the afternoon meeting, we ask. Amen and amen. Is the volume on this? Maybe. Yeah, it was this morning. Might have to have a new battery, maybe. But it was growing. But however, we'll just commence. Shall we stand and sing number 491, We Have Come Into This House.
We have come into his house, in his name, worshiping. We have come into his house. Up holy hands, magnify his name and worship him. Holy hands and magnify his name and worship him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify his name
do that. Just worship him, knowing that the Lord Jesus wants to hear from, in my case, me. In your case, you. He doesn't want to hear from a church group or a theory or principles about the Bible and everything. He wants to hear from your heart. And he will bless you for that. Okay, let us sing number 480, Just a Little Longer.
Just a little longer, and the trump of God shall sound. Just a little longer, and we'll all be glory bound. Look away to heaven, your redemption roaring high. Just a little longer. Just across the bridge, there'll be no sorrow. Just across the bridge, there'll be no pain. The sun is gonna shine across the
about that 10,000 years and we've only just begun. We get up to 70 and 60 and that thing, boy, we're just about over and finished. It's amazing what we're going to have if we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a request here on the restoration book, The Family of God, number 167 in the restoration. Mr. Mason just really wants us to sing this, so let us sing it in joy. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join
question. Are you? Do you feel you are part of the family of God? Okay. Anyone that was doubting, realize that you can be. You can be if you do something about it. Let's sing another one here. Let Me Walk, Blessed Lord, number 28. Yes, that's what we want to do. Walk with him. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone.
leading straight to the land above.
Certain people don't love you. You know what you do? Love them anyway. Let the Lord do the work. It's really good. Okay, we'll just have one more, and then after that we'll have Brother Charlie and Brother Reef. Oh, you can fight that out later. And that'll be good, and then we'll have Sister Pauline after that. So let's sing number 22, I Heard an Old, Old Story. Praise his name. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his glory, of his precious blood atoned. I repented of my sin and won the victory. Praise you. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he taught me with his redeeming love. Love me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the Silla. Different one.
Maria.
Silla. Yes. Well, they seem to like the music and see them beating along there and reading the words. It's very nice to see the little ones entering in. It's all very, very nice. I had a friend that was going to be here this morning, but he hasn't turned up. Surprises me, actually. However, we've got to do what we've got to do. Brother Charlie and Brother Reef. Good on you, brother. You'll do that for me.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you'll never know. Then things changing when you're down in the valley, but don't lose faith, for you're never alone. Oh, the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that He'll make them right. And the God in the good time is still God in the bad time. God of the day is still God in the night. Talk of faith when you're up on the mountain. Talk comes so easy when life's at its best, but it's down in those valleys of those trials and temptations that's when faith is really put to the test. Oh, the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that He'll make them right. And and the God in the good time is to God in the bad time. The God of the day is to God in the night. God of the day is to God in the night.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I've got to encourage this fellow somehow.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Pauline. It's good to understand that the Lord's there all the time. Day, night, the good times, the bad times, the confusing times, the accusing times, wisdom times. You know, that means all the time. You have access to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Sister Pauline.
Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. I searched through heaven and found a Savior. On Calvary.
Pauline. It's good to know that we can sing to our Lord and enjoy it. Often wonder about when we get to glory. Wow, with another 4 or 5 million angels singing along with you. They'll just cover my voice, but I'll be glad to be there. Praise the Lord. We have communion this afternoon. All are welcome and encouraged to be there because it's part of our walk. We should really be involved with the communion, remembering of what Jesus Christ did for us. And also we have our 7 p.m. prayer meeting. It's good to bring other people's needs before the Lord. Collectively, there are brothers and sisters, no matter where they live, where they are, what the need is, we bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer requests, well, our printer wouldn't work when I wanted it to, but there's a name from in Canada, Manitoba, that's asking for us to do what we already do, is pray for the Christians wherever they are, wherever they live, whatever color they are, whatever language. Give them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will do the work. The Lord will. And the other one was Brother Moses in India, and he's requested similar things for the contacts that he has. Got it there, have you? Right. Brother Freeborn's meetings, pray about those because of the restriction of the pandemic. It may not be convenient, so we'll have to just pray about that, that the Lord will have His way in whatever is requested. Yes, that's about it, I think. And Brother Moses, yes, I don't think there's any detail on that other than generally pray for the people over there in India that have needs. We've been doing that anyway, and we will just mention them at this time. And yes, that's about it. So do we have any unspoken prayer requests here that anybody has before the Lord? Signified by a raised hand. The Lord knows exactly what your need is. Expect an answer. Shall we pray? Precious Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Almighty God, the one and only God. We thank you, Lord, that you tune in to what our needs are. And if you don't hear it on our voice, you hear it from our heart. Lord, there are many people that do not know you as God. They know about a name, but they don't know God. Help those people around the world, wherever they are. We think of India and Canada at this time. And, of course, there's many others in many other countries, countries we don't even mention. There'll be your sons and daughters in these places. Help them, Lord, as we know that you will. But we are still asked by the Lord to pray. Why? I don't know what it would do, but I know that when God knows that prayer has gone ahead, miracles happen. It's not something done lightly. So, Lord, we just pray for anybody that's calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer, Lord, is that the people that have made the decision and have let it go cold, help them desperately, Lord, because the time is getting short for your coming. And we need to be ready. We need to be watching and waiting. Lord, help everybody that's in need at this time and those that indicated with a raised hand of their need. Thank you, Lord, for doing it. We love you, Lord. Receive our love. We ask it in your precious and holy name. Amen. Okay, let us sing tune number 53, In the Sweet By and By.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by.
Certainly will. Good to see you, Brother Andrew. Amen. We'll sing another song because you're here. You feel like you missed out otherwise. Let's sing number 316, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Because that's what we want him to do for us. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Be seated, and thank you, Brother Howard.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord again. We account this a great privilege to be here. We don't take it lightly. They might shut us down tomorrow. They could do it. And you're on your own with the Lord. If you know the Lord. Amen, brother. They'll probably lock me up too, actually. But you know, Brother Brian Freeborn, I believe they don't have a service this morning because I've shut down Adelaide for a week. I won't say any more about it, but let's just pray that God will have his way.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's really happy to be here. Just so glad for the Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, you cannot live without it. Sister Wainui, Sister Maria, I'm sorry. I'll get it right. One day I will. I appreciate you being here because you know what I was going to do? I was going to greet you on the air. You and Brother Curry on the streaming to welcome you to the service because I thought you might have been home. But I just thank God that you're here. Praise God. It's nothing like the real thing. Nothing like being here. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Didn't say the getting, it says assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is. But more so, we should be together as we see the day approaching. I tell you what, it's really close. The time is really, really close. So may God help us all. I wonder if we just pray now. Lord Jesus, we come to Thee, Great One, our Saviour, our Redeemer, our Healer, our Comforter, Lord, our blessed Lord and Saviour, the Saviour of our souls, Lord. We're so glad to be here this morning. We love You immensely, Lord. You mean everything to us. And Lord, that's why we love to come together to worship You, why we have the opportunity. We don't know when it'll be shut down. We don't have no idea when we won't be able to gather. So Lord, let us redeem the opportunity we've been given. Let's appreciate what You've given to us, Lord. These lovely brethren have come here. Lord, we had 120 or so listening last weekend. Lord, there's a lot of people join with us. We welcome you all that are joining us. May God bless you for coming to be with the service. And may God continue to overshadow our lives. I'm telling you, Lord, you know it. It's not long and you're coming to take us to be with you. Lord, we want to be all ready to get out of here, say goodbye, well, goodbye, because we have you, Lord. We just love you for your love, for your person. We love you for your grace to us, Lord, and your mercy towards us day by day. We give ourselves to you now and ask that you'd bless this the ministry of thy word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You may stand for the reading of God's word. It's from the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 4. Now, the speaker here in this verse is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what he said, talking to the church. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. It's awful that the Lord would say that to us. Because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Get back to what you were. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. May God bless his precious word to us all. You may be seated. I've just entitled this, Where is Our First Love for God? Where is our first love for God? You see, brother and sister, if you've had an experience with God, you remember the first love. You remember when you first gave your life to Christ, you knew your sins were forgiven, it meant everything to you. But we somewhat slipped back on that. And I want this message to be straightforward and honest. I believe there's a great lacking in the body of Christ in this last hour, in the so-called end-time believers today, there's a great lacking I'm not talking about enthusiasm. I'm talking about love for God. But to be of any benefit to me or to you, we cannot look at anybody else or any other church. It's all about you. You folks listening, it's all about you. So may God help us this morning as we consider these things. It's a personal level, and it's not at others. And God brought a charge against this church age, the Ephesians church age. He says, I have somewhat against thee. Because thou hast left thy first love and thy first sincerity. The time when you used to get down and weep before the Lord. Yes. You've forgotten those times. And this is his message to us this morning. It also applies to our age, this last day. We should be far more advanced down the road, as it were, with the wonderful word that God has delivered to us in this last hour. But alas, we are not. You know, brother and sister, I could maybe pump it up and say, oh, you are a great, great, wonderful people, and we are, by the grace of God. But I just want to say it the way it is, because I want to know, and you want to know, and you people out there want to know too, I'm sure you do. We are not, in fact, further on, we've slipped back somewhat, I believe. So what was their charge against them? What was the charge God brought against them? This is what the Lord Jesus said. He's the writer. If you look in the Bible, say who wrote it. Firstly, God commended them. He gave them a compliment for their uncompromising labor and patience. I tell you what, we need patience. But a serious development began to develop as they went on. And after a while, it arose that they left their first love. You know, brother and sister, this is so serious. Where we leave our first love, our passion for the Lord Jesus. We don't have time with them anymore. We're just, well, we'll speak about it a little later. We got so much on the program. To God, it was a very serious thing. A very serious matter. And he wanted to warn them. He said, remember therefore, verse 5, from whence thou art fallen. We're fallen. We're up there in the spiritual things and we're down here. We've gone down. That's what he said. He said so. We've fallen. And then he says, we need to repent. And do the first works. The first works was your zeal and love for God. When you first came to him. You need to get back to that. And, or else I will come unto thee quickly. And I will remove thy candlestick out of his place. Except thou repent. I'm going to read you this from the Amplified Bible. Because it's quite well put. The Lord speaking to you and I. But I have this one charge to make against you. Now, so he said some really good things. The church was really good. They were patient. They worked hard. But he said, there's one charge I've got against you that bothers me. And he goes on to say this. That you have abandoned the love that you had it first. You've abandoned it. You don't have that love and simplicity and sweetness for him. You have deserted me, he said. You have deserted me, your first love you had for me. Remember then from the heights that you have fallen. Repent, change the inner man to meet God's will. And do the works you did previously. That's spending more time in prayer. When you first knew the Lord. Or else, I will visit you and remove your candlestick from its place unless you change your mind and repent. So the Lord is giving an opportunity. Even though I was slipped away from that first love and that sincere walk with God, he's giving us an opportunity to repent. Isn't he a wonderful Savior?
Amen.
He may have it against us, but he'd like us to repent too. Now this warning was very serious. To remove the church age, which was their candlestick. Now the church age was actually the church at that time. And we're the church, Laodicean church age right now. This is where we are, the church. Says in Revelation 1:20, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So we see the candlesticks talking about the church itself. I want to read you some things that Brother Branham, God's prophet, has said concerning this subject, which I think is very sobering. He says, remember and repent, or I will remove the light of the star out of his place. What's his place? He says, in the church. But if you don't repent and go back to where you were at the first place, I'll take your pastor right away from you and move him out of his place and put him somewhere else where I'll reflect my light that it will shine. He says, my, wasn't that solemn? You know, brothers and sisters, we've got to listen to what Jesus said. This is what he said. Take these things seriously. We know that God once removed two whole tribes of Israel. He removed them off the earth. They are tribes of Israel, the backbone of Israel. He removed them, and you'll never hear of them again until eternity. The tribes of Ephraim and Dan were removed. God was not happy. So I don't think he can't remove us. He can remove us at any moment. And they were never mentioned again until later on. So whatever it means, what we're saying is, whatever it means, it was a serious matter to God. The bride in this first age had left their first love for God. Do you think God's attitude to us in this age is any different?
No.
Of course not. So what does it mean to leave our first love? I'd give $1 billion to go back to my first love right now. I know what I'm talking of because I experienced it. I was just a young boy, but I used to be in the presence of God many times. And I want to get back to that in a real way. And so do you.
Amen.
So the Lord didn't say that they had lost their love for him. Didn't say that. In other words, they still had a type of love for God, but their first love for him had died. What about your love for God? Is it still fervent, real, genuine love still, or has it faded? Now, you don't have to answer me. This is nothing to do with me. This is to do with you and God, because he made the statement. He brought the claim. I have something against you. The Bible says concerning this last day, you can actually read it sometime, Matthew 24:12. In the last days, he says, the love of many will wax cold. Their love becomes cold. It used to be a warm, passionate love and zeal for the Lord Jesus. Now it's gone cold. Waxes cold. I've talked to you about waxing before, but waxing's a slow process. It doesn't happen overnight. It slowly gets colder and colder. When you look at wax down the side of the candle, for instance, you think, well, that's still hot. You don't even notice it. But put your finger up against that little running wax. You just touch it very gently. It's got a skin on it already. It's already going cold and you never realized it. And brother and sister, we could be going cold and not even realizing it. So the Holy Spirit's giving us an admonition this morning. May God help us. In Jesus' own words, this is his own words in a totally different area of the Bible, found in Matthew 24:12. But because iniquity shall abound, the love of a few, the love of many shall wax cold. Just become cold. What a tragedy. I pray, God, you'll deliver me from this. Help us, Lord. Deliver us from this terrible waxing cold. But he that shall endure unto the end. There's an endurance required, brother and sister. You're not playing church. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. You know, naturally, when you first fell in love, you all, I'm sure most of you have been in love. Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you said that word because I haven't got that one written down, but I've got some written down. When you first fell in love, he or she was very, very special to you. It's like when you first came to the Lord, you knew all your sins were washed away. Oh, what a love and relationship you had with God. All your thoughts were always centered on your lover, man or woman. Now you still love your wife and your husband. You still love them. But sometimes it becomes commonplace. Now this is the scary part. It becomes commonplace. We take them for granted. Now this could be for marriage counseling as well. Because it's still the same truth. Our words, like our brother said, sweetie, or whatever it was. I was thinking of darling. Oh, darling. Oh, how I love you. Sweetheart, you're just so beautiful. All really nice, affectionate words. They've all just become, unfortunately, as time goes on, just words. You know, I was thinking about, you call, oh, darling, you're the best lady in the world. I'm not talking about you. You're the best lady in the world I've ever known. And it's always darling this, darling that, sweetheart, all this. Now watch this. As time goes on, you take people for granted. I'm not looking at anybody, I'm just going to look at the floor. You can say, darling, come here. It was darling, but it had no feeling. Same words, without feeling in the heart. I hope you people out there are handling this okay, but it's the truth. Do you know what Jesus said about this? This is what Jesus said about it. In Matthew 15:8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips. Oh, my darling, my sweetheart. But he says their heart is far from me. You can show all the emotion you wanted to your friend, your husband or wife or whatever. But unless it's from the heart, they're just words. Lord, help us, I pray thee. What about our song service, Brother Tim? I'm not talking about just Brother Tim or Brother Lee. It's all of us. Our song service, our hymns, and our choruses, have they just become words without feeling? Oh, no. Or it's got a lovely, nice tune to it. It's more than a nice tune. You've got to be in love with your bridegroom, Jesus Christ. But something has happened. Something has changed. And if this doesn't apply to you, then forgive me. But I know one thing. It needs to be applied to me. Who else wants to be applied to? It's so easy to get into that loop and just sing the songs. You know, sometimes when I don't play the piano, probably one of the worst parts of playing the piano for me, Brother Peter, is I don't always get to see the words and sing them because I'm concentrating on the music. But when I get the chance to hear others sing, even like the people over in Ireland, Belfast, we've been listening to some of their services, singings, and to sing the good old hymns, the good stuff. And I just get so blessed in my heart. I am redeemed. They sing those songs that really strike my heart because I have the opportunity to take the words into my heart. Not just a tune or singing a happy song. And I'm not against a happy song. That's okay. But as long as we mean it from our heart. Because Jesus said, they draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. Oh, the singing. But their heart's far from me. They're thinking about what they're going to do this afternoon. Somebody else has stepped into your life. You see, brother and sister, you cannot be deeply in love with somebody and then have a little interest on the sideline in somebody else. It won't work. Right there. Your relationship is damaged right there, brother. Right there, sister, when you have a little interest in somebody else. I felt led to say these things. And so as it is, and so it is with God. We wonder why we're not getting through to God. We wonder why we're not getting into that sweet communion. Because our relationship has been challenged and compromised with another lover. I'm telling you the truth. God knows I'm telling you the truth. Another lover has stepped into your life and taking your time away. He'd love to have time with you, but you're busy with somebody else or something else. The lover of business, of busyness, has stepped in. The lover of other things is pressing out God in your life. The Bible says, listen carefully. God is a jealous God. He calls himself jealous. That's how jealous he is. Did you know that? Let's read it. It's found in Exodus Chapter 34, verse 14. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. So we've got to be very careful. You upset him, you've got problems coming. I'm telling you. So what is worshipping another God? We need to think on that. Whatever you spend the most time with is your God. It's become a God to you. Whatever that may be, only God can show you that. What are you spending most time thinking about? What's always on your mind? That's your God. Might be a new car. Just an example. Could be anything. What is your God? That is your God. Whatever you're thinking about all the time. Say what you like. Sing beautifully in church. The hymns come out and you raise your hands and you clap. But what's always on your heart? That's your God. Our own words from our own mouth declares our allegiance. The things that we speak is declaring our allegiance. May God help us to understand these things. And even if it's a little interest, see, little interests become big interests. So it doesn't matter how small the interest is, it grows. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The Lord who is a jealous God. Sorry, Lord. The Lord who is a jealous God is left out, feels left out of your life. You used to love him, you used to pray to him every night, you used to give him glory and praise. Now you're caught up with this and that and everything else. Yes, that's another one. The bride, his bride, has one love, and that is for him alone. The bride of Jesus Christ is going to go on the rapture will be a group of people that have one love, and that is for Jesus Christ and him alone. These little lovers sneak up upon us. They come disguised as lovers many times in the form of the world and fleshly commitments and entertainments. They get a hold of your soul and your heart and your mind. You have little time to meditate upon the things of God. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Say what you want to. It's not what I say, not how we sing or dance. We could speak in tongues even, put it that way. We can do anything like that, but if our heart's not in this, he's grieved. The lovely Lord Jesus, he becomes grieved because you've got another lover in your life. Where's that first love? That passion you had for him? And our Lord is left out in the cold. As I said, very grieved. When we first found Christ, heaven came down. You know, when you first came to the Lord, you first received the blessings of the Holy Spirit upon your life, there's nothing could satisfy than being in the presence of the Lord. It's such a passion to be there, to be under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It was a passion to be there. Now this comes in and that comes in and this one here, a whole lot of other things come in, creeping in, encroaching upon your life, and Christ is left out in the cold. Our whole life should be revolved around our Jesus. Our love for God and for his people. When we first came to him, it was truly wonderful. You know, brothers and sisters, I am not preaching a sermon, I'm preaching from experience. I remember very clearly, I remember in a Hills place in 58 Russell Street. Seeing Chuck Wall and them coming down and putting arms around each other, tears running down their cheeks. We're all in love with the Lord Jesus. Presence was so real. Get into the meeting and just heaven came down. Now they're waiting across the other side. Across Jordan, waiting for us. I pray that you'll make it. He that shall endure unto the end, not those that begin. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You see, this is a self-test. They have self-tests for everything. So this is a self-test. It's not for me to test you, or your wife to test you, or your husband to test you, or the church to test you. It's for you to test your own self. Test your own love affair with God. Is it real or not? Thank you, Lord. I know he's here. He knows I mean what I say. I pray these things. I don't preach them only. In those days, we couldn't get enough of God and his word. We couldn't get enough fellowship with the saints of God. Now it doesn't bother us. Got something else going on? Oh, sorry. Can't come today. I can't get with you. I'm busy. Got to go out. Maybe some of the world. Have fellowship with the world. There's some nice people out there. But I tell you what, it's not the same. I remember when everyone was perfect in their eyes. I had nothing against anybody. I lie not. God knows I lie not. I had compassion and forgiveness for anybody that did anything wrong. Because I just didn't want to break that communion and fellowship with the Lord. What about now? Everyone was perfect in our eyes. We were quick to forgive all. We found no fault because our love for one another. Isn't that lovely? I want to read you two beautiful scriptures that cover that subject. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 12 says, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Isn't that beautiful? So I hope you love me, then you can cover all my sins too. Here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity, that's love, among yourselves. For love shall cover a multitude of sins. It doesn't matter what it is. If you really love somebody, you'll just cover them under the blood of Jesus. It doesn't mean you agree with them, but you forgive them in your heart, in your heart. If our love is right with God, we do all we can to cover others' mistakes. See, the love of God is totally intermingled. Your love for God is totally intermingled with your love for the saints. That is absolutely the word of God. You cannot separate. So I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Him and I, we have good. And don't love your brethren. It's a false love. It is. He said so. God made it very plain that the love, your love for God and the love for your brothers and sisters are inseparable. Remember, you say you love God and you really love him with all your heart and you've got bitterness against your brethren, it's a false love that you have for God. First John chapter 4, verse 20 says so. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. Now, brothers and sisters, this is what the Word of God says. Yes. It's not what I say, what you say, or anyone else says. It's what God said. If a man love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Remember that, and don't forget it. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Amen. You see, when the first love comes in, a passion for the Lord Jesus, you really love him. He's everything to you. He means everything to you. And so does the brethren mean everything to you. Because it's the same spirit. Same love operating. It's moving amongst us. So this first love for God directly reflects our love to others. That is an absolute biblical test. You don't love the brethren, there's something wrong with your relationship with God. Face up to it. I have to, and you do too. So how does this first love manifest? It permeates and invades throughout the whole of our life. It cannot be hid. There's a light on a hill, it cannot be hid. It's the light of God. Not just in church. Or in a suitable environment where you feel comfortable. No, brother and sister. Even when life gets tough and difficult, our love for him remains. And it could be tested in the days to come. That's why it's so important to check up and say, Lord, do some surgery on me, Lord. I need some surgery. Do I really love you the way I say I do? So I do love you, Lord. I love you with all my heart and all my soul. And he said, if you love me, keep my word. Keep my commandments. Do what I tell you. That is an evidence you love God. If you disobey to do that, then there's something wrong with that love again. When we leave our first love, it's very obvious to all. It really is. Brother, sister, I just want to tell you something. I know what I'm talking about. I've seen it over the years. I've seen those so full of the love of God, you can feel God's spirit around them. I want that experience. Who wants that? Amen. When people walk up to you, they feel, hey, I feel something. I don't know what it is, but I feel it. The world will know when you love the Lord. They will know that you are real. You're not putting it on. They say a horse even loves you, knows when you love it. That's the truth. And I believe that. I'm not afraid of animals. Because I love them. God knows I love them. People see me out here, they think I'm nuts. I talk to the birds because I love them. I see God in them. I say, look, listen, Lord. Listen to them worshiping you, praising you. They love you. We love you, Lord. It's got to be that real. Not just inside the building. It's got to be wherever you go, you feel that love permeating your whole being. And I want to say this. When we leave our first love, it is obvious to all. We lose our countenance. Something's gone. And it doesn't happen overnight, unfortunately. It doesn't happen overnight. No, there's a slow cooling off. A waxing period. When it waxes cold, He hardly ever talks to me now. He hardly ever praises me now. I don't see him giving me glory like he used to. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Who wants God to forgive you? Brother and sister, we've just been denying him his what he deserves. We have left off that blessed experience we had in the beginning. You couldn't hold us down. We're like a jack in a box. We're just so happy. Opened our mouth, all came out about God. Now we open our mouth, it comes out all about the world. And this and that. I want to read you something Brother Branham said on this. He says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love," quoting the scripture. "Oh, I have something against you. You've been patient. You've held up for my name." I appreciate that, he says. "But there's something I've got against you," the Lord speaking to the people. "And that is, you've left your first love. You may go to church, you may dress like a Christian, you may carry your Bible correctly. You've got all those things, but there's something missing." And you know what? Everyone here and everyone out there listening knows what that is. They know what it is. So may God help us all. He goes on to say, "You left that love that you once had for them good old-fashioned Holy Ghost meetings. And you begin to kind of slide backwards into that formality. I've got something against you," he says. "I have something against you, and that's my complaint," God says. Saints, we've become more sophisticated. We've become more knowledgeable and less love. I'd rather have no knowledge. I'd rather have all those things taken away and just give me the love of God. The love of God, how rich and pure. The love of God, how real it is. There's nothing to compare with the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Paul lays it out very clearly here. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels," that's the anointing of the Holy Ghost, "and you're speaking an unknown language, and I have not charity," I have all that, "but I have not love," he says, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries," every mystery there is, I understand them, "and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing." I am nothing. Does anyone know what nothing is? Zero. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor," doesn't that sound lovely? "And though I give my body to be burned," heroic, "and have not love, it profiteth me nothing." Now it's a good test. Here's a test for us to do. It's for you to do. For me to do. Are we more interested in proving somebody wrong than we are praying for them? That's your test. That's my test. Are we more interested in proving somebody wrong than to pray for them? We have swapped power with God for the teachings of men. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 4 says, Paul says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." Oh, it sounds good. That's deep, brother. "But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Brother and sister, if we have the most simple sermons here, and we can have simple sermons and may not be very deep, I just want to see the power of God come down here and the works of God in our midst, amen, prove that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
You can have the other stuff. Take it all away. I don't want it. Just give me Christ. And that's got to come. It will come. Yes. Hallelujah. Let's say praise the Lord. Who remembers the good old prayer meetings with the power of God? You know, I remember we'd have prayer meeting go to midnight. That's the truth. The good old prayer meetings with the power of God. As a young man, I thirsted for the prayer meetings to get through to God. God can strike me dead here now if I'm not telling the truth. I used to crave to be there. God knows it. Not run away. Find any way to get there, I could. Because it's just so wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord. Who wants to be in His presence? Just so wonderful. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord. So glorious. Today, so many young people know nothing about the Spirit of God. People that even come to this church don't really know anything about the Spirit of God. And that is a tragedy. Brothers and sisters, make sure we're reflecting the life of Christ and the love of God to every person that comes in here. I want to read you one more quotation. Where's that first love you once had? He says, Brother Brandon speaking. Where's that first love you once had? See, where's that joy you used to have? As David once cried, O Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Hallelujah. Where's them all-night prayer meetings? And I've been in many all-night prayer meetings. Yes. But not recently. 1 hour. Sweet hour of prayer. But really, we need to get into the Spirit. I'm not talking about working something up or putting something on. I want it to be the Spirit of the living God and a love for Him that brings His presence down. Who believes that? Yes. If you just come down here, it changes everything. Hallelujah. My EC is here. Where are them all-night prayer meetings and the tears on your cheeks? He says, my goodness, the Bible's even dusty.
Oh.
The Bible's dusty and got cobwebs on it. You know what he's saying. It's not been used. You read old love stories. I'm sorry if that hurts anybody. I'm just saying what he says. And I believe it. You read old love stories and news things, even your cell phone, and things that ought not to be even be allowed to be published and put out in the trash can or rubbish tin. And we Pentecostals pick up them and just loft over them like a bunch of flies on a garbage can. He's telling the truth. Brothers and sisters, people are going back to the world and looking at stuff they never would once want to do because they've first lost that love for the Lord. You're lofting over them like a bunch of flies on a garbage can. That's right. Oh, mercy. What we need is back to our first love.
Hallelujah.
Back to Pentecost. All right, he says. Now, what is the spiritual climate of that church? It had left its first love, leaving its love, first love of the Word of God revealed to us as having fallen from its origin, which was Pentecost. In plain English, it means the church was in danger. Oh, listen to this. This is serious stuff. This is serious stuff you're going to hear. The church was in danger of being taken away from the leading of the Holy Spirit and control of the Spirit. Don't want that. This was exactly what took place after Moses led Israel out of Egypt. The way of God was to lead them by the cloud of fire, prophetic utterances, miracles, signs, and God-given wonders. This was to be accomplished by God-selected, God-ordained, and God-equipped and God sent men. That's why I think it's so important that every brother is called of God before they darken the pulpit. You've got to be called and chosen and anointed of God. With the whole camp being dominated by the Holy Ghost move, they rebelled and wanted a set of rules and creeds to go by. Then they wanted a king. Man replaces God with a king. What about today, brothers and sisters? We've got to be honest. Then they wanted to be exactly like the world. It went into complete apostasy and oblivion. That is exactly how the first church age started and will get worse and worse until the Holy Spirit is completely rejected. That's from a prophet of God. And God must destroy the people. And now, we are here at the end of the age. We are here at the end of the age. Very little love. What will be the identification of the bride of Christ? Whether she has a great revelation or she has a great ministry in their midst. Is that the revelation of the bride? In John 13:35. By this shall all men know, all men, people out there, shall know that you are my disciples when you have love one toward another. That's the identification, is that you have love one toward another. It is time to check up as we bring this down. Do we as individuals need our first love restored? Yes! I need my first love restored. Does anyone else need it here?
Yes.
God knows. I've got to tell the truth. I can say yes here and me no and here. I've got trouble with God. But God knows I mean it. We need to have our love restored. Do we love God with a deep passion and commitment to His Word? Do we still love those who bitterly disagree with us? All. Do you still love them, even if they disagree with you? On doctrine or whatever? Do we still love to seek for the reinfilling of the Holy Spirit? When was the last time you're down on your knees saying, God, fill me today. I need it tonight, Lord. I need to be filled with the Spirit. Those are the ones who are going to get it. Or if we settle down, do an intellectual confession of the message. Time is against us, brothers and sisters. Time is against us. May God help us to face up to it. If you feel called towards the prayer meeting, now you don't have to answer me. This is entirely your department. If you feel called towards the prayer meeting or seeking God at home, then we desperately need to get back to our first love. This may not be deep teaching. I want to say it's very, very needful. How many of you, perhaps he says here, how many of you, all perhaps, have read of the virgins? You all know who the five wise and five foolish virgins were in the Bible, Matthew 25. They were all good people. Every one of them virgin, sanctified vessels of God. This is what the Bible says. They were virgins. They weren't dishonorable people in the type I'm talking about. But those who had oil in their lamps went in to the marriage supper with the Lord. The others, he said, were left out. Terrible. Oh, there's going to be such a weeping. Brothers and sisters, don't let that be you. Wash us really through and through, Lord. They were all virgins, every one people you couldn't put a finger on for anything wrong. They, every one, believed in the coming of the Lord. They went out to meet him. They believed him, they went out to meet him. They were ready to go to meet him, but some of them let the oil go out. He says, let me just read. Don't let that be your case. Keep the oil in your lamp. Oil is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Never let it drain from you. Never let it drain from you. When you feel your love dying away, listen, brother and sister, wherever you are, when you feel your love for the Lord dying away, he says, your sincerity to Christ and to the cause, the gospel. Quickly go to him who has the fountain of oil and buy for yourself a filling of the Holy Spirit. For it's only coming for those that have the oil. Let each one ask God, Lord, please renew my love for you. Who wants their love renewed this morning? If I had another arm, I'd put it up. I want him to restore my love to where it used to be. It's not how much we know, who we know, but who we know and who we love. You ask him to come, fill you with his love. He will. He will do it. But you've got to open that door. Open your heart's door, Sister Pauline sang the other day. I received the Holy Spirit years ago. And you still love your brother? People say, I received the Holy Spirit 20 years ago, but do you still love your brother? Or your sister. The truth is, we all need a fresh baptism of his love and power. Just want to close with this last quotation, because I think it's good. It really gives me faith. From Speak to the Rock, he says, your experience is getting old. Something you had 20 years ago. What are you right now? What are you right now? What does it mean now? You've got to get a new baptism every day. Every day. Every day. Just keep going. No limit to it, he says. You try to say, well, now look, a month ago I had a wonderful experience. He says that testimony won't work. What about it now? Right now. A new one. Right now. God rained it every night. The manna came down. Supernatural manna came down every night. They had to go and get fresh bread every night. I believe the church is beginning to hear the message and beginning to understand. But friends, listen, he says. We've got to lay in the presence of the Son. S-O-N. We've got to be ripened. Our faith is ripe. Intellectually, we're hearing the message that God has given us. But seeing the signs that he showed us and proving it to us by the Bible as that. But oh, how the church needs to lay in the presence till it tenders up. You know, and get sweet in the spirit so that it can breathe down. Who desires that with all their heart here this morning? Hallelujah. You people out there on the internet, do you desire that this morning? Or in your time of listening? He will burn out all bitterness and replace it with divine love. May he help us, each person, to receive that first love right now. Thank you, Jesus. Shall we just stand, brothers and sisters? Every head bowed. Lord Jesus, we know how serious this is, Lord. This may be our last sermon, I don't know. One of these days it's all going to change. Everything's going to be different. But Lord, let us check up here this morning. Give us that first love, that first passion we had for you. That first earnestness and desire for you and your word and for the brethren, Lord. May you restore it to us, Father. We're asking this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for your glory. Lord, just speak to our hearts. Don't let us escape. Those that are listening with us, may they not escape. May the Holy Spirit speak to their hearts as well in the name of Jesus. Have thy way, Lord. How we need thee. Help every person to make that choice. Lord, they can't even do it without your help. But I pray, Lord, they'll be willing to say, Lord, make me a new person. Let me get back to that original love I had for you. I've drifted, Lord. I'm a drifter. Forgive me, I pray. Ask it in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song. Create in me oh God and renew a right spirit within you, within me. Create in me a clean heart oh oh Lord, cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore. Sports, anybody would like prayer, or some might want to come to the altar and seek the face of God, and because it's real to you, that's your decision. Nothing to do with me. I've got to do my own seeking. We'll sing this again. If anyone like prayer for any matter, healing or for their soul, feel free to come. Create in me a clean heart. Oh. And renew a right spirit within me, yes, my Lord. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. Sing from your heart, not words. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not the help. Restore unto me that joy of thy salvation. And renew a right spirit. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. You've got to be real, brother and sister. This is a self-examination, something you have to do before God, whose Holy Spirit is right here. He's scanning the audience here and afar to see if you really want him to come and join him. This is where I leave it. I finish here. Brother Lee, would you like to come and pray? Hallelujah. Just remain standing or Brother Lee speaks to you. None here? God knows.
You know, while that's being preached, keep coming on my mind, and I want for you folk here and listening, if you realize the times that we've had the presence of the Lord here, I know for absolutely sure where I've walked in here and before the church has even started of a given morning and felt the presence of God. It's not just feeling good. It's being good with the presence of the Lord. Another occasion, on two or three times, we've been singing and I just feel light on my feet and it's something beyond that you can do or even understand. It's just the presence of God is there in the singing and lifted you. Then now why I say that is because that's just a little tiny taste of the actual thing that's been preached. And it's there for us. And my advice is when it happens, go with it. Expect it. Look for it to happen. And I've picked this number at home yesterday. 494. In his presence, fullness of joy. And that's for you too. And as we've mentioned, know what the words are saying and be a part of it. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. At his right hand, pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship divine. I am his and he is mine. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. In his presence there's fullness of joy. And his right hand, pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship divine. I am his and he is mine. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of praise God. Just going to pray now and then we'll finish with 502 after I've prayed. All that I have, all that I am, all I am expecting. Expect it. Have that blessing. It's over and above what you can work out. It's when God comes down. Look for that presence. Lord Jesus, we love you. That's what's been preached. If we love our brethren, all of them, all the time, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for what we've heard. We know it's true. We're just human. We make mistakes. But there's a way back. Because God said there's a way back. We love you, Lord. We thank you for being here. Be with the people that have listened in. May they feel your presence. It can happen for them right there. Over and above their good feelings. It's just God's presence. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship we're going to have and the luncheon. Bless the food to us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to think about the prayer meeting and be a part of it. I've often wondered, Lord, we've had prayer meetings at different times and thought, Lord, your presence is here. It's just feel it. Lord, let it be. And the more we have it, the more we want it. And more we can have. Bless everyone who wants the love of Jesus Christ in their life. They can have it if they'll seek Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. Just bless us as we close on this 502. All that I have. All that I have. All that I have. All I shall ever be. Cannot repay the love debt I owe. I surrender to Thee. All that I have.
Your holy name. Praise you. All that I have. All that I have. All that I have. All I shall have.
Bless you.